Thank you. Please take your seat. And Graham's going to come in and pray for us.
Shall we bow our head and hearts in prayer before the Lord? I've been asked to pray for Andrew and the church plant at Thornlands that have been commissioned already today. Let us pray. O God, it is a great privilege to come to you in prayer, that we, your children, can come before the throne of grace with boldness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, with boldness, yet with humility and reverence and awe. And we come before you in praise and worship and adoration and thanksgiving. And we come before you also with our petitions. Today indeed is a special day for Grace Bible Church Holland Park, a day when the new church plant of Thornlands has been commissioned. How true are the words we have just sung, "Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord." Yes, you've been so faithful through past years, and you will continue to be faithful throughout the present and in the years to come. O God, we have so much to thank you for. Thank you for your hand of grace and mercy upon our church, from its small beginnings as a home church to its gathering at Rosalie Church, then at Franklin Street, Annerley, and now at here at 10 Yuletide Street. O God, we thank you for Craig and later for Dave and for their lovely wives. O Lord, thank you for these two faithful shepherds of the flock, leading the church according to the principles contained in your word. O God, thank you that under your almighty hand the congregation continues to outgrow its premises. Thank you, O Lord, for the two church plants that have already taken place at Corinda and Springwood, Lord. And now we thank you for opening the door to the new Grace Bible Church Thornlands church plant. Lord, thank you for your hand of blessing upon our brother Andrew, for preparing him over the years to be the pastor shepherd of this new church congregation. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have given him. Thank you for his dedication and commitment, his servant heart, for the fruit of the Spirit that's displayed in his heart and life. O God, we pray that you will continue to bless Andrew and keep him from the wiles of the devil and continually help him in every aspect of his responsibilities as shepherd of the sheep under the great shepherd. O God, help him continually as he prepares the sermons week by week. Help him in the decisions he has to make, in the counselling sessions with those with questions and problems. O Lord, undertake for him when the going gets tough, when difficulties arise, when there are disappointments, when he is exhausted, and in every other life situation too, Lord. And we thank you for his dear wife and helpmeet, Heidi. We pray for her that you will bless her in all the roles that she has to fill, as a wife, as a mother to little Franklin, as a daughter, sister, friend, and especially as a pastor's wife. O God, may you be her refuge and strength and her ever-present help at all times and in every situation. And Lord, we thank you for all those who have prayerfully decided to leave our beloved congregation at Holland Park to serve you at Thornlands. O God, you know that we have missed them over past weeks and will continue to do so. Your word exhorts us to give thanks in everything, so Lord, thank you for their decision to go, for their willingness to join in the new adventure, for the desire to use their gifts and talents and abilities in your service, for their dedication, for their zeal, for their commitment to take on fresh responsibilities. O God, we pray for them today, that you will keep each and every one of them walking closely with yourself and keep them continually looking unto you. Help them to make right decisions in their personal lives, in their family lives, in their church lives as they serve you, O Almighty God. And Lord, we thank you for the Thornlands church building, for providing a wonderful property for the church plant. O God, only you could orchestrate this, and you arranged this way before the plan date. How marvellous indeed are your works. So, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commit into your almighty hands all those involved in the Thornlands church plant, the elders, the deacons, the worship teams, those involved in home groups, men's and women's and youth ministries, evangelism, pastoral care, and every other role, whether up front or hidden from public view. May Grace Bible Church Thornlands go from strength to strength. May it be a blessing to the whole Bayside area as the word is faithfully preached, as the saints are built up in the faith, and as they reach out with the glorious gospel to those who are waiting to hear about the God who so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. O God, we know that you hear and answer our prayers as we pray them in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.
Well, when we first started discussing plans for a Redlands church plan, it felt like a long way off in the future. The time's gone really fast, hasn't it? Andrew's going to come and update us on what's been happening and how we can continue to support and pray for him and our brothers and sisters as they move to Thornlands. Give him a clap and some encouragement as he comes up.
Good morning, everyone. I arrived this morning and was hit with emotion, so I'll try to keep it together. For those who don't know me, my name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors of the church, which is a lovely thing, but you haven't seen me or met me most likely because a few things have been happening this year. And what I wanted to just give is a little bit of a summary and a where to, so to speak. So in early 2023, as Murray said, we decided to plant a church in the Redlands, and the aim was for late 2024. Things were progressing along, but at the turn of the year, we were approached by a church named Thornlands Bible Church in the suburb of Thornlands, and conversations began to ensue, the meetings began to increase, and then in late March, Thornlands Bible Church decided to amalgamate with our church plant, but also to gift us their property. And that was a wonderful blessing. But it also meant, hey, come now, we need you now. So that's what we had to think about. Now, wisdom, if you read any church planting books, they say don't merge with other churches. That's really difficult. Even more wisdom will say, if you are going to merge with another church, don't go on their property. And in our great wisdom, we thought, why not do both? So what that has meant has been, since April, we've been at Thornlands Bible Church. And in one sense, there has been pastoring that has been happening. But in another sense, we've also been planting. So it's been a unique challenge. Some of the big challenges is that there's, what I would say, three different church backgrounds. There's Grace Bible Church, Thornlands Bible Church. But because the church was going and ongoing, there were new people coming from all kinds of different backgrounds. And so there were great challenges that were before us. These included the unity of the church, having people align under a common vision, the DNA of the church, whether the church would assume and others who are joining take on the GBC DNA, which is so important, but then also developing a Thornlands flavor, distinctive flavor within that DNA. It was not easy. I have to say, there were mornings where I would struggle to get out of bed, not knowing how things would unfold throughout the day. So there were big challenges, but there's also an amazing team that God had provided. This includes in particular Hanno, who is an elder, Joe, who is an elder candidate, Roy, Pete, and Rickus, who is from Logan. And so these men gathered with me, and they honestly, the A-team, I couldn't ask for a better bunch of guys. I'm immensely thankful for them. We were meeting fortnightly. And we were meeting, having long meetings, regularly four-hour meetings, as we had to discuss things, put things together, build a culture that could then be moved throughout the church. And then also, come time around June, GBC HP revealed a joker card for us, let's say. And her name was Marie Mannins. She was an amazing blessing, just helped us get Elvanto going and just really mobilize everything. So an amazing team that people were able to do, but there were also an amazing church with these challenges, an amazing core team who was being sent out. We would have monthly meetings at Thornlands Bible Church, so we were able to build this culture. Overall, there's 46 adults who are leaving from here, 11 children and 7 babies. And so for this church, big challenges, but an amazing church. Often people are living and serving between two homes, sometimes at Thornlands, sometimes at Holland Park. And one of the wonderful things about this is that they made people at Thornlands Bible Church feel deeply loved. They were in a difficult place, and our church stepped up and made these people feel loved. And so what's happened over these last few months, to just give you a, this is a, honestly a brief update. The first thing is that we've formed relationships. We've held a women's event, a youth event, and a family event. Unfortunately, the Springbok won against Australia, and there is a healthy contingent of SAFers in our midst, and so we've really felt outnumbered. But not just with Thornlands Bible Church was there a culture formed, but it was with one another. There's a lot of people who, this is a large church, and so a lot of people had to just get to know people from Grace Bible Church, Holland Park, and relationships have formed through that. Through this time, we've been able to form a culture where people have now taken on the Grace Bible Church DNA, but also one with a Thornlands flavor that is emerging, which is an exciting thing. Over this time, we've been able to appoint ministry leaders who have served in amazing capacities for whether it's the music team or the welcome team or the AV team or the kids ministry, all kinds of different ministries, catering and morning tea. Ministry teams have formed. We've also got 6 home groups, which is an awesome thing. So we've got 100% capacity at the moment, basically, of people who are attending home groups, and that has been an awesome blessing. Over that period of time as well, though, we had to bring people into the church, and so run a membership class and a baptism class, conduct a number of membership interviews. And all of this kind of culminated last week on September 1st. It was the last joint service that we held. And in that, we got to admit 22 people into our membership. We had 1 baptism, and there's 3 people in the pipeline with a possible baptism or 2 to come. And so what has happened, and as we were able to reflect on September 1, was an immense sense of unity within the church, that we had all taken on a Grace Bible Church DNA, which I'll get to about why I prize that. And you could feel it in the air. You could feel the excitement. You could feel the zeal. And so an amazing team, an amazing church, but this could have only been accomplished because we have an amazing God and we have the Lord Jesus Christ. As Murray just said, He is sovereign over everything, every single event of our lives, and I've had the privilege of being able to see a lot of things. This includes His gentle providence on mornings when I needed Him most and ways that He would orchestrate the days and the conversations that would ensue. He is given divine wisdom in making right decisions when it's needed most. But sometimes there have been mistakes, and He's implanted a gracious and patient heart into those who need to show patience towards their human, flawed leaders. He's also been able to do a divine work of turning hearts and knitting hearts together, something that is incapable for any man on this earth to be able to do, but God can do that. And then also with a church plant, it is a really difficult thing. Change is difficult. And yet He has granted strength and excitement to those who need it, even those who are coming on the church plant with a little bit of, I'm not sure if this is the right thing, and moving their heart through to that place. And so we have an amazing God. And what I have learned through this process is that God is gloriously faithful to His saints. Church plants are so exciting because when you take steps in faith, you just watch and you see the book of Acts unfold over and over and over again, as God provides and demonstrates His faithfulness. And so where some trust in chariots, others will do in wisdom. I've learned so much more that we have to trust in the Lord our God in everything. It is a deeply important lesson to sit in the heart. Now, Craig is going to have an opportunity to explain to everyone about the value of church planting. I just wanted to just give 2 cents from my perspective of what GBC has meant to me. It's transformed my life. I arrived as a chaotic PhD student. I started ministry flustered all the time. And now I find myself in a totally different place. And I've had men like Craig and Roy and Han, elders of the church like Murray and Z, surround me, influence me. And generally just the church culture here. You know, one of the things about GBC, of what gives us our DNA, is we have Christ-exalted services, Christ-exalted preaching. It is a church filled with healthy leadership, humble leadership, and grace-filled fellowship. And that is where God's Spirit works most deeply and beautifully, as the ministry of the Word is not just carried out by the men who are in leadership, but in every single person as they minister to one another the gospel. And that transforms people. My firm conviction from Psalm 63 is, your love, O Lord, is better than life. And so we face a world where there are people who are unbelievers, who are lost and perishing, and we find Christians who are disenchanted by church and famished for the gospel. And this is why we are planting churches. I'm so excited to see how God is going to see new people in the same boat as me come to the church, and with that church culture, see their lives transformed by the gospel. But it's not just what GBC means in the sense of for the world and for those who are lost and perishing, but also what it means for God's people. It is so easy to become comfortable and complacent, to enjoy good fellowship. And church planting has this way of shaking things up and gives us a renewed kingdom vision to see God provide in miraculous ways. I arrived really and got into the church when I got to see after the last church plant and see the ways that he had provided, and to see God embolden people and utilize their giftings in ways that they didn't know. So as a way, now just moving to, I guess, closing, a little bit of a long closing, but first of all, thank you, Holland Park, for your kingdom vision, for really catalyzing church planting and a church planting culture in Grace Bible Church. Thank you for the immense financial support that you have blessed our church with. It is awesome. And I am so grateful for the leaders, in particular Craig, and former leaders like Murray as an elder, and the pastors Roy and Han, and all the other guys who I haven't mentioned, for that vision and to be able to provide that financial support for us. Thank you to this church. There are relationships that are going to be hurting, and the sacrifice is felt. But thank you that you have had that kingdom vision to be able to support people in going on these church plants. You have blessed me and my little family that as we've started in the middle of the year during this church plant, and honestly, it couldn't be done without you. So in terms of ways that you can support us and our church as we're going forward, the first one is financial. We're now partners in the gospel. And so there is an opportunity to do an offering for our church. Philippians 4, Paul, he talks about what a wonderful blessing the partners in the gospel at the church of Philippi has been. And this church has been a massive blessing to us. But beyond finances, there is also prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. Finances is for your blessing, and that's what Paul says in Philippians 4. Prayer is for us. We need your prayers. We need you to be praying for us and supporting us. I don't understand how a sovereign God orchestrates and uses prayers, but I know that he commands it and he loves to use our prayers. So please be praying for us. This is not a goodbye, but it is the next stage in our lives. We are members of the same kingdom, citizens of the same kingdom, and yet we're now partners for the same gospel. It is an exciting thing knowing that HP has future church plants down the pipeline, and that we also, as Thornlands, are very intent on planting churches, and then we get to partner together to support one another. So thank you so much. I deeply love you all. I know that everyone who is leaving deeply loves you. And we look forward for all the opportunities for fellowship and serving God together. Thank you.
I asked Andrew if there were any songs he would like to be included in the service this morning. It's no surprise that he chose All Glory Be to Christ. Just one of the reasons his humble servant is the perfect person to pastor this church plant. May we join our voices again to sing in honor of our King. Let's stand. Please take your seat. Thank you. But let's turn to God's word, Acts chapter 13. We're just going to read verses 1 to 3, and then Craig's going to come and share with us and take us through the rest of the service. Acts 13. This is what God says to us this morning. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off. Craig's going to come now. Thank you.
Well, we're going to pray, and I just want to share some of the reason that we're doing what we're doing. Let's do that. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Andy, for Heidi, for the leaders there, for all of those that are going. Pray for the leaders at Holland Park and those who are staying. Lord, help us to understand that everything we do is for your glory and for your kingdom. We cannot do it without your Spirit and your power. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the task that you've entrusted to us. In Christ's name, amen. Well, the church is often compared to an army. You find it in Scripture, for example, 2 Timothy 2:3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We find it in hymns. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. But this morning, I want to remind you that there is a big and important difference between the Australian Army and the Lord's Army. The Australian Army recruits and trains and then prays desperately that they never have to deploy. Now, some young, brash men with misplaced bravado are like, "Well, I joined up, I want to deploy," but the old heads are like, "No, you don't." But the Lord's Army is a little different. We recruit and we train and we know that we're going to deploy. And today is deployment day. This is the third time over the last number of years we have deployed, in the sense of setting aside a group of men and women that we love, precious brothers and sisters, to go and plant a new church. Deployment day, commissioning day, you wake up in that morning and it's always this strange mix. There's this hope and joy, but this sadness and tears, because planting a new church hurts, but it's a good hurt. Sending spiritual sons and daughters you love is painful. You know you're going to miss them terribly. You know the mission of our church is to gather, grow, and go. The gathering and growing, they're the enjoyable parts. Hallelujah. But where it's all leading to the going, and the going hurts. So whether you're sending out a missionary or you're sending out a church, it hurts. In a few minutes, we're going to have the faces of those we're sending, and you're going to see friends and brothers and sisters and co-laborers. And if you haven't thought about it before this morning, it'll strike you that these people we love, they're not going to be here next week or the Sunday after. And I've looked at the list of names, prayed about it, and there is a deep sadness. People you've ministered alongside that won't be there. But there is a joy and there is a fatherly pride, and I am fully confident this group will bring great glory to Christ in the Redlands. So deployment's part of the mission. We do this because the kingdom, well, it tells us not to take the easy road. I've been asked many times, how do we do this? The cost in terms of money and time, it is horrendous. And yet that is nothing compared to the relational cost. But we do it because the King, our Commander-in-Chief, gave us a mission, and part of that mission is to deploy and carry it out. Now, I want to walk us very quickly through the book of Acts. I think you know the book of Acts was written by Luke. Luke himself didn't give that book a title. In the late 2nd century, a church father called Irenaeus titled it The Book of the Acts of the Apostles, and it stuck. But most in church history didn't really like that name. It isn't really about the apostles, so they sort of shortened it to Acts, or some have called it the Book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, or the Book of the Acts of the Church, or the one I prefer, the Book of the Acts of the Unstoppable Gospel. But I also think of it as the book of the mission of the church. In the book of Acts, we have our marching orders and we have our battle plan. So next week, whether you're coming among the Lord's people here at Holland Park or out at Thornlands, the mission remains the same. So I want to summarize our mission by looking at six crucial words that sum up the book of Acts. So I want us to think about the mission in six words. What are they? Word one, Spirit. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. You only have to have a brief glance through the book of Acts and you know that Spirit is throughout it. And that's why many have called it the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Everything that happens is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the one who receives the credit and the glory is the Holy Spirit and the one who sent him, Christ. What happens in Acts, basically, we're supposed to read it and go, this is a miracle. And it did not happen because some gifted men and women went out and did something special. It's because we have a great God who chose to do something special. Now, the story of the church begins at Pentecost, where the believers are filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry out their mission. 3,000 people converted, added to the church right on that first day. And then repeatedly throughout the book of Acts, we get these statements. The word of God spread and the number of disciples increased, but every time that is said, the credit is given to the Spirit. For example, Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria had peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Here's the point. We don't build the church. What we're doing today is not us. It's Christ who builds the church. Look, you go to Apple Park in Cupertino, there are monuments there to Steve Jobs. Tell you, he built Apple. You go to Bentonville, Arkansas, there is a glass case with a pair of Sam Walton's boots to honor the man who built Walmart. But you read Acts, and the glory is not Paul's or Peter's or Barnabas or any man or any woman. It is God. Jesus did it. Without his Spirit, there is no church. And the shrine to honor that legacy is not a pair of boots somewhere. It is the ever-living church, continually and ever built by the power of his Spirit. Our mission is only accomplished in the power of his Spirit. So, whether you're staying or going, we pray, we submit ourselves to the word and the gospel, and energized by his Spirit, we continue in the mission. Never forget that. It's not money and influence and power and ability. They're not our tools. If Thornlands is going to thrive, it's because you rely on the Spirit. Your mission must be empowered by his Spirit. Word two, witnesses. Acts 1:8, the second part. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Look, as sad as it is to see Andrew, Hanu, the rest leave, you imagine being a disciple and Jesus like, I'm gone. These are the last words that Jesus said to his church in person. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and then it's game on. You are my witnesses to the ends of the earth and you keep doing it till I return. He has never changed that mission. Witnesses of what? Well, if you look down at chapter 2, beginning at verse 32, he tells us, Peter says, God has raised this Jesus and we are witnesses of this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a promise for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. We're witnesses to the Messiah, that he died, that he rose, and that if you repent, believe, are baptized, your sins are forgiven. This promise is for you, it's for your children, your children's children, until the end of the age. So, if Jesus saved you, if you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son, you are a witness to the power of Christ to save today. Witness is another one of these words that you're going to find it right throughout the entire book of Acts. Let me just point to one example. The gospel finally spreads to Gentiles. And Peter says this, Acts 10, 39 to 43. We ourselves are witnesses of everything he did. He commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that he's the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. You're a witness to those same truths today. We only got one message, Christ and him crucified. So your mission remains unchanged. You are witnesses of Christ, the power of the gospel. You're to take it to the ends of the earth, and you keep doing it until he returns. Word three, you always got to put one less encouraging one, but it's encouraging in another way. Acts 8:1, on that day a severe persecution broke out against the church. Now, for those of you who are a little younger, before Tom Cruise, there was Mission Impossible. There was a TV series. If you are under 50, likely you have never seen it. Those of you that are more my vintage, you know it. And if you've seen it, it always starts the same way. Jim receives his mission via a tape message. Your message, Jim, should you choose to accept it, is da-da-da. And it always ends the same way. As always, should you or any of your IM force be caught or killed, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of your actions. This tape will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Good luck, Jim. The mission was always dangerous and near impossible. Jesus was pretty clear. The mission he's entrusting to us is dangerous, and humanly it is impossible. But he says, it's dangerous, it's going to be hard, but you have my Spirit and my authority. Now you might think if you've got the Spirit and authority of the King, it's all going to be smooth sailing. He does not want us to think that what we do, whether it's here, Thornlands, over in Africa, it's smooth sailing. John 16:2, Jesus said, a time's coming where anyone who kills you will think he's offering service to God. Paul, 2 Timothy 3:12, in fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Just read the book of Acts. They go out. They go out preaching the gospel. They go out healing. They provide comfort. And for that, they are persecuted by everyone. By the Jews, by the Gentiles, and everyone else. They're stoned, beheaded, killed, beaten, left for dead, put in stocks, run out of town, shipwrecked. Nobody escaped trials. There is nothing in the book of Acts that says following your mission is going to be easy. Nothing paints a picture of a world that says, hey, you arrive in a town or a place and they're like, thank God you're here. We've been waiting for this gospel to come. Come on in, let's tell you. Everything in the book of Acts says you arrive and they say, we don't want this. We like our sin. We don't want King Jesus. We got King me. But Acts says it is the blood of the martyrs that's the seed of the church. Acts 14:22, Barnabas and Paul were strengthening the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith and telling them it's necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. I don't know what the next 5-10 years, if the Lord tarries, will be like here, Thornlands, any of our church plants, Africa, anywhere else. But I do know there are going to be tough times. Revelation 12 says Satan is enraged, he persecutes the church, he makes war against those who keep the commands of God and hold firmly to the testimony against Jesus. Today's a good day. It's sad, but it's encouraging. It is a good day. We rejoice at the birth of a new gospel-preaching, gospel-proclaiming church. But Satan's not rejoicing. And in days ahead, it's going to be tough. Yeah, there'll be people saved. We're going to marvel at baptisms and the goodness of God. But he's going to do his best to make sure it's not smooth sailing. There will be hard days. And in both churches, there are going to be days we want to give up. And Jesus tells us those days will come, but he is with us. Stay true to the mission. He says, I will be with you always to the end of the age. So your mission will include persecution and tough times, but our shepherd says, I will always be with you. Word four. Appoint, Acts 13:2, appoint for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Appoint, set aside, put aside men and women, disciples, to the work for which I've called them. The point of a church is to end up sending out missionaries and church planters. We've spoken a number of times about the book of Acts, and we've looked at the church planting cycle that occurs again and again throughout Acts. Jerusalem planted churches, those churches planted churches, and so on. One of those churches eventually planted was in Antioch. And it was thriving, it was growing, it had prophets, it had teachers. Among them were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. We're told Manaen is a man of influence. He's a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch. So here we have this thriving, prosperous church. Now, humanly speaking, the last thing you want to do when you've got a thriving, prosperous church is mess with it. And if you really, really have to send people away, if you're making a list, I'm pretty sure Barnabas and Saul would be on that we cannot send them. They're the irreplaceable parts of that church. But here's the point. You send those that are among your best for the kingdom because that's the mission. You appoint good men and women. They're the ones you really don't want to lose, and they go and they plant other churches. I can tell you, Hanno, Andy, Joe, let alone all the other men, women, leaders, members, there's a part of me, I look at that list and I scream, nah, can't lose all of these. Maybe a couple, but not all of them. Holland Park needs them. Well, the mission needs them. Acts 13:14. They went. And they evangelized, and they made disciples, they planted churches, they encouraged those churches. In fact, in Acts 14, they're going back, and they go to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. There's churches there now, and they encourage them to continue in the faith, and they appoint elders, and they tell them, get on with the mission. In Acts 20, Paul summons the elders to Miletus, and he summed up his ministry in these words, Acts 20:22. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I am compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I'll encounter there, except that in every town the Holy Spirit warns me, the chains and afflictions are waiting for me, but I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus to witness to the gospel of God's grace. I got a ministry from the Lord Jesus. He said, I know it's going to be tough, but I've got the Spirit. I will witness, and I know what lies ahead, persecution, chains, and afflictions. He had no illusions what being appointed would mean. I hope you don't. Your mission is to go and train others and appoint others, or to go again yourself. Word five, spread. I suspect many of you know that the book of Acts is structured around the movement of the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. Now, you might think when Jesus said this gospel is going from Jerusalem to the ends of the world that it's a laughable aspiration. I mean, he's leaving it in the hands of these guys who, let's be frank, had not covered themselves in glory to this point. The resources were few. The opposition was well organized and equipped, but the gospel is unstoppable. and it will spread and it will multiply, not because of them, but because of the one who empowers it. Brothers and sisters, in planting churches, we are not wasting our time. We are not making sacrifices for nothing. Jesus is building his church and it will spread and grow. And Acts is meant to be a book that you read it and it encourages you to be part of the mission. The impossible did happen, is happening, will happen. Here's the structure of Acts, and each section ends, and I think most of you know this, but it ends with a summary of the growing church. So the gospel spreads through Jerusalem. And then we get Acts 6, 7. So the word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number. Then it spread beyond to Judea and Samaria. Acts 9, 31. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. But God had said, it's going to the ends of the world. Now they're a bit slack, so Peter gets this vision of the unclean animals. He gets taken to the centurion, who's a Gentile, and finally puts it together, Acts 10, 34, 35. Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person that fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. The gospel reaches Gentiles, Acts 12, 24. The word of God spread and multiplied. Then it moved throughout Asia, Acts 12, 24. The word of God spread and multiplied. Then it crossed the Mediterranean into Europe and it spread, Acts 19, 20. In this way, the word of God spread and prevailed, and against every rational expectation, the gospel reached the heart of the empire, Rome. And Acts ends in this way, Acts 28, 31, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and unhindered. Acts starts and you think this is a mismatch. Jesus is dead. You've got 120 frightened disciples against the might, not just of organized Judaism, but the empire. You end and you go, this thing was a mismatch. But it's those who had the Holy Spirit on their side who had the mismatch. The empire had no chance. See, here's the point. Acts doesn't end with, and the gospel filled the world to its very ends. No, it had reached Rome, but Rome's not the end. Our task happens after Acts 28. The Church of Jesus Christ has moved from one man to a dozen men to 120 men and women to a city, to a nation, to a region, to a continent, to two continents. But there's still a lot more work to do. Even at that point, there were unknown lands on the other side of the world, like Australia. And even today, the gospel's not done and the mission continues until the trump sounds and our commander-in-chief says, lay down the gospel, those weapons, it's done. Until then, the mission's not over. Our mission is to spread the word and see the church multiply. Word six, unhindered. That's how this entire book ends. Unhindered, last word written. I don't think it's an accident. Now, unhindered doesn't mean that Satan and the world saw Paul reach Rome and they laid down their weapons, they gave up. Far from it. It means that their efforts will not prevail. It means we're on the side that wins. Paul, 2 Timothy, says he's shackled, but the word of God is not shackled. Acts 28, 31, proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and unhindered. Think of this word as unstoppable. Paul's in Rome, and they're like, we'll put this guy under arrest, house arrest. We will contain this growing movement. Good luck. In verse 28, he's proclaiming the salvation, and the Gentiles are listening. And here, right in the center of the known world, he might be shackled. The gospel is not. He's preaching Christ and salvation. And the word is spreading. The Jews and Romans had done their best to squash this new movement. They could not. They will not. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, I say to you, you're Peter. On this rock I'll build my church. The gates of Hades will not overpower it. Neither the world nor Satan can stop or derail the march of the gospel and the church of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm coming and I'm taking worshippers from every tribe and nation and people. And when their number is complete, then and only then is the mission done. He says, I will not fail. I will not lose one of them, and my gospel is unstoppable. The only question for us is, are we going to be obedient to the mission that has been entrusted to us? Whether we are or aren't, I'll tell you this, he's going to finish it. His mission and his gospel is unstoppable. The only question is, where are we in being faithful? The generations after Paul and the generations today have the same task. In the power of the Spirit, we are to be witnesses of Christ. And yes, there will be persecution, but we are to appoint disciples and spread the gospel, and we are to expect that it'll be unhindered, unstoppable until he returns. Brothers and sisters, the church is an army. We're not a country club. We're not a cruise ship. And we've been deployed. And deploying hurts, but it reminds us of the final victory of the Lamb. Acts 28's not the end. Planting Thornlands is not the end. The end doesn't come till Revelation. And then the Lamb wins and the army of the Lamb wins, but until then we got work to do. Holm Park, we got work to do. There are more people to hear the gospel. There are more churches to plant. Thornlands, yeah, you got a great start. It's only a start. You got people to tell about Jesus. You got churches to plant. You got missionaries to send. So Thornlands, we love you. We'll pray for you. We'll support you. And we trust the Lord will use you mightily. You are a blessed church plant. You're taking some of our finest men and women, and we're going to miss them. You got talented, committed, faithful men and women everywhere. But I remind you, it's not them, it is Jesus who builds your church. And so you continue to pray and you continue to ask the Spirit to fill you and guide you. Thornlands, be a blessing to Andy, Hanno, Joe and your other leaders. The leaders of Thornlands, we're entrusting a pretty significant part of our heart to you. Shepherd them well, or we'll be visiting you, Andy. You teach the whole counsel of God in season and out of season. You pray for them. You keep the wolves out. So Thornlands, I pray that you will let the task of these men shepherding you and watching over your souls be a joy. Now, reminded you of the mission. Now we want to charge you to that mission. So I'm going to ask Roy to come and to share that charge.
Well, the day has finally come. My task, as Craig said, is basically to double-click on that message and to give it in a synthesized form and give the charge to both Holm Park and the members of Thornlands. To do that, let me read a very famous passage that we're all familiar with. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus comes after his resurrection to his disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So I said, this is a very familiar passage to probably most of us here this morning. We've either read books, heard sermons, seen talks done on this. My task is not to give an expositional sermon on this text, but to simply remind us of the four great truths that we see in this scripture. Now, if you know me, the words short and speech and Roy don't go in the same sentence. So I'm going to do my best. Four great alls that this text gives. The first, of course, is there in verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth. Before the passage begins with the call to the Great Commission, it begins with a great coronation. This is a coronation passage of a king who, as the author of Hebrews tells us, the Father has crowned this Son with the glory and the honor and has put all things in subjection under his feet. King Jesus is the ruler of every nation. He's the ruler of every heart. He is the ruler, and this authority, it fuels the church. It guarantees the church's success in this mission. I submit to us, the members of GBC Thornlands and Holland Park, that our first order of business is submitting ourselves to the order of this King. As we serve in the ministries on a Sunday morning, as we serve in those tedious tasks, as we serve up the front or down the back in the music, in the Sunday school, the cleaning, the greeting, the admin, the sound, the lighting, all of it and everything we do as a church is to be in subjection to the will and the honor and the glory of this King who has all authority. Second, this call is to all people. The Great Commission has a worldwide scope of global evangelization. This, in lack of a better term, is worldwide domination. The assignment of the church is both universal and it is cross-cultural in nature. It goes beyond the bounds of Springwood and Logan and Brisbane and beyond, so that God's passion to save the lost is not just to the people of Thornlands or Holland Park, but it is for every lost sheep of the house of God. The King has dominion over every heart, and he causes his sheep to be called home through the preaching and the proclamation of this glorious King who was crucified. Knowing this guards our hearts, it guards our minds from becoming insular in a little kingdom of our own, and causes us to lift our eyes above and beyond to the fields of harvest that are ripe and ready for the picking. We're a church that's not called just to proclaim a glorious gospel, but to make disciples of every nation, tribe, and tongue of all people. Third is every command, or teaching them to obey all that he has commanded. So our task as the church, our mission is not simply making decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ, but disciples. Disciples who obey, disciples who conform, disciples who adore the standards of the scriptures. This means that the goal of disciple making is not simply having cognitive level understanding of the Bible, but to have those truths affect our hearts and our minds, that it goes into every area of our lives, in the way that we work, in our parenting, in our marriages, in our services, in our Bible studies, our prayer groups. God wants us to be a church that is not just helpful, but holy, set apart, and obeys the full counsel of God. Might there be a meal we can cook, a family we could serve, a position to fill, a coffee to make, a lawn to mow, a prayer to pray, a deacon to encourage, a ministry you could lead. We want to be the kind of churches that being anonymous or nominal as a member is a difficult thing to do, because we are in subjection and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything he has commanded to us. The final all, of course, is there in verse 20, a very comforting promise, one in which I want Andy and the elders to heed with great comfort. Behold, Jesus says, I am with you always, at all times, in all things, to the end of the age. The only way that a church like ours can ever survive what we just saw in the book of Acts, the persecutions, the suffering, the turmoil, the pain, the heartache, is if the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, if the shepherd is there in the valley with his sheep leading the charge. The success and service of a church is not found in the wisdom of its leaders and elders. It's not found in the service of its members. It's not even found in the friendly faces that welcome outsiders into the comfy pews. But the only way a church is ever going to survive is in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And where has he promised to dwell with his people? In the preaching of the word, in the breaking of bread, the drinking of the cup, the baptism of the saints, and the worship of this risen King. In short, Jesus promises to dwell with his people whenever they are gathered around his word and with his people and to his glory. All authority, all people, every command in all places. This is the mission of the church. This is the task of the church. And though today is a day of great sadness and rejoicing, my charge to every single one of us here this morning is keep planting churches. Keep moving forward. I was reminded of all things, Finding Nemo this week. Dory's forgetfulness, which she consistently says, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. I think that's a good motto to have as the church, to just keep planting, just keep planting. We want to be a network of churches that humbly look forward to the many days of hard labor, sacrificial service of our time, our talents, our blood, sweat, tears, pain, and prayers, because Jesus Christ is worth it. Craig mentioned Revelation before. Let me finish here today with Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And all of God's people said, amen.
Well, what we're going to do at this point, we're going to commission the leaders of the church and then all of the church. As he departed from his final charge to the elders of Ephesus, Paul said this in Acts 20, 32. And now I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So we want to commend Grace Bible Church Thornlands to the care and to the blessing of God. So I'm also going to ask the elders and the elder candidates at Holland Park to come on up at this time. So Andy and Hanno are going to be the founding elders. Joe is an elder candidate. These men and their families have served us faithfully in ways that most of you would not even be aware of. I can tell you already, having these men not at our elders' meetings has left a huge hole. And so as we set these men and their families aside, we want to pray for them. So we're going to pray for them. Roy is going to pray, and then I am going to pray. And then after that, we're going to bring all of those who are going on the church plant up.
Let's bow our heads to our great God and pray. Our holy and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this church, for these people, and for these men who will lead the charge. We pray for this body of leaders with their wives, their children, that you would hold them in the palm of your sovereign hand. In particular, we pray for Andy and the leaders of this church. We pray that your word would be the thing that drives them. It would be center in everything they do and they say. That the gospel would go forth. That your glory would manifest as they rise to this challenge, Lord, of bringing Christ into every domain and sphere that their church touches. Father, give them great joy, abundant blessing, and rich spiritual fruit in the labors of their hands alongside you in the great commission of winning souls for Jesus Christ. Father, as they do this, we pray that they would go in the power and that authority of the Son who has commissioned them, that he would be with them in everything they do, and that he may get the glory and they the joy in seeing your kingdom built. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things, and amen.
Father, you are our great shepherd. We know that, humanly speaking, planting a church is a difficult venture. But we believe that you can make this new church, this part of your body, flourish. It is you who gifts. It is you who appoints. And we believe that you've called Andy, Hanno, Joe to this task. We commend these men and their families to you. I thank you for their friendship, for their faithfulness, for the incredible blessing they've been to me, to the leaders at this church. And now with sadness, but with joy and with pride, we set them aside to this new calling to serve you in Thornlands. I pray for them. Keep them faithful, keep them holy, keep them close to you. Give them strength in the hard times. Help them look unto Jesus. Help them keep pressing on to the upward call. Use them to faithfully shepherd the sheep. Give them the heart of shepherds to encourage, to teach, to admonish, to love, to bear the burdens of the flock. Fill them with your Spirit and use them mightily. Bless their families. I thank you for the wives who support them and the children as well. Use these men as they preach your word in season and out of season. Use them as the gospel goes forth in the Thornlands. I do pray for Heidi, for Zelda, for Wendy and their children. You bless them and use them in their task. Preserve these marriages through the rigors of ministry. And we thank you for our friends. We set them apart now to this task, to the glory of your name. And in the name of the great shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, now I'd like to ask all of those that are going on Thornlands to just come, fill up here, and we're going to pray for you and commit you at this time. Why don't we pray? Let's do that. Father, I thank you. I thank you for each of these faithful brothers, sisters, who've agreed to go and to be the founding members of this new church. I ask that you would bless each one of them, cause them to flourish, protect them, keep them near you, fill them with your Spirit. May they serve you. May they serve the leaders there well. May each one be a faithful witness in Thornlands and belong beyond. Enable them to preserve through the trials of ministry. Encourage them as they use the gifts and talents entrusted to them for the blessing of the church, for the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask that their faithfulness would see others come to Christ. We ask that you would give them the joy of them planting churches in Redlands. May your Spirit and your word be their strength, their guide. May their church be a light in that place to your glory. Protect each one and use each one to your glory. Give them a great inheritance among the saints, we pray. And I thank you for each last one of them. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we're going to send them off by singing O Church Arise. So they're going to stay here. We're all going to stand and we're going to sing O Church Arise.